From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. This week, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, a subject of vital importance for the Church of Jesus Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for this morning is found in Psalm 104 and verse 16. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. Without sap, the tree cannot flourish or even exist. Vitality is essential to a Christian. There must be life, a vital principle infused into us by God the Holy Ghost, or we cannot be trees of the Lord. The mere name of being a Christian is but a dead thing. We must be filled with the Spirit of divine life. This life is mysterious. We do not understand the circulation of the sap, by what force it rises, and by what power it descends again. So the life within us is a sacred mystery. Regeneration is wrought by the Holy Ghost entering into man and becoming man's life. And this divine life in a believer afterwards feeds upon the flesh and blood of Christ, and is thus sustained by divine food. But whence it cometh and whither it goeth, who shall explain to us? What a secret thing the sap is! The roots go searching through the soil with their little spongules, but we cannot see them suck out the various gases or transmute the mineral into the vegetable. This work is done down in the dark. Our root is Christ Jesus, and our life is hid with Him. This is the secret of the Lord. The radix of the Christian life is as secret as the life itself. How permanently active is the sap in the cedar! In the Christian, the divine life is always full of energy, not always in fruit-bearing, but in inward operations. The believer's graces, are not every one of them in constant motion? But his life never ceases to palpitate within. He is not always working for God, but his heart is always living upon Him. As the sap manifests itself in producing the foliage and fruit of the tree, so with a truly healthy Christian, his grace is externally manifested in his walk and conversation. If you talk with him, he cannot help speaking about Jesus. If you notice his actions, you will see that he has been with Jesus. He has so much sap within that it must fill his conduct and conversation with life.
This will be my cry, my song, my prayer. As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responded to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you free of charge a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here is an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit. As we've already seen, mankind is depraved from birth and capable of the most heinous acts of wickedness and violence. Yet, because of God's common grace, the Holy Spirit keeps even the vilest of men back from the full expression of their depravity. At the same time, sinful man constantly seeks to resist the restraints of the Spirit, often with the support of the government. As Dr. Cairns will point out from Scripture, the Holy Spirit will not continue his restraining influence forever. The world has yet to see the unthinkable abyss of wickedness that will occur when the Spirit ceases to exercise his restraints. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message on the restraining influence of the Spirit.
It is by the providence of God that wicked immorality leads to vile diseases in the body. And there are many who otherwise would plunge into the abyss of filthy living, who are held back because of the price they would have to pay in their own body. I remember speaking to one young man who had taken the first step down an awful road that would wreck his life, wreck his home, wreck his marriage. And he came trembling, broken in mind and body. And you know, while he thought of losing his wife and while he thought of losing his home as a terrible thing, there was one thing that made him weep like a child and shake like a leaf in the breeze. And that is that for some time he would not know, but that he had contracted some terrible disease. I want to tell you, there was a fear there that put up a barricade in his life to further escapades in the wickedness of sin. That's the providence of God. Dr. Bob Jones got into trouble with some intellectual idiots, clerical idiots, here in Greenville not too long ago, when he dared to say that the AIDS epidemic in the United States was the judgment of God upon sodomy. Well, at the expense of being reactionary and the idea of being thought backward, I'm glad to say that he was absolutely right. Absolutely right. And I want to tell you, it's very interesting to me that the government is spending more money trying to get that thing right than it is trying to investigate the illnesses that are afflicting decent people. You ever worry about that or wonder about that? It tells you an awful lot about the government and those who really are pulling the strings and the puppet politicians are jumping. Let you know what's really going on. But I say this to you. They may get to the bottom of the AIDS virus. They may not. They may or they may not. I care not really. As far as this particular aspect of the case is concerned, I certainly do care about the innocent people who are terribly afflicted by it. But whether they solve it or whether they don't solve it, it's just one of numberless epidemic diseases that a holy God can send. And let me go this far, because you'll see the reason for this statement in a few minutes. I pray he will send in order to keep men back from the wickedness and the folly of filthy living. He can do it by providence. He can do it by conscience. Where a man can get no peace, no rest of heart or mind, he can do it. And the Bible teaches that this is one reason he has set this entire thing up. He can do it by means of the civil magistrate. That's why there are judges in the land. That's why there is a political machinery that sets up a judicial machinery. Romans 13, 3 and 4 teaches that this is of God. 1 Peter 2 and 14 teaches this is of God. And they are not to bear the sword in vain. God has set these men as ministers of God in the state in order to keep down sin. He can do it by the preaching of the word. He can do it by the prayers of God's people. He can do it by the fear of God's wrath. He can do it through the example of the home or the church or the influence of God's people. The Lord can use many ways to keep men back from the full expression of their wickedness. There's a great American preacher that you've heard me mention, Jonathan Edwards. I would to God we had a few Jonathan Edwards in the pulpit today. Edwards was a great preacher. He was also a great theologian. And this is what he said. He says, there are in the souls of wicked men those hellish principles reigning that would presently kindle and flame out into hellfire if it were not for God's restraints. The souls of the wicked are in Scripture called the troubled sea. For the present, God restrains their wickedness by His mighty power, as He does the raging waves of the sea, saying, hitherto shalt thou pass, and no further. But if God should withdraw the restraints, if He should withdraw His restraining power, then it should carry all before it. If sin was not restrained, it would immediately turn into a fiery oven in the soul, or a furnace of fire and brimstone. You think of that. You know, that's something that should slow up every man here. There is that in every man that God found so obnoxious in the children of Israel when they said, according to Isaiah, I am holier than thou. You look at a lecherous, immoral man or woman. You look at a murderer. You look at a thief. You look at a liar. And you tend to puff out your chest and say, well, I am holier than thou. I want to tell you, were you able to look into the eyes of the devil himself today, you are not one bit holier even than the old serpent himself. There's not a man who can puff out his chest in pride. It's only the grace of the Holy Spirit that has kept you back with his restraining hand. And yet, the second thing the text teaches is that sinners constantly resist the restraints of the Holy Ghost. Notice the words of Genesis 6 and 3. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Now, there's no strife unless there's opposition. This is the resistance. Over in Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 10, you have these words. They rebelled. They vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. They rebelled. They vexed his Holy Spirit. Over in Acts chapter 7 and verse 51, in Stephen's last sermon, he addressed the leaders of Israel with these words. He said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Always resisting the Holy Ghost. Now let's get the picture. We're living in a sinful, depraved, fallen world, populated by sinful, depraved, fallen people. And yet it's not at this moment as bad as it might be. Because God the Holy Spirit is putting the brakes on. He's suppressing sin in its expression. He's holding it in restraint. He's holding sinners in restraint. Do they thank him for it? No, sir, they fight against him. They resist. They want to be free from all the restraints that God Almighty would place upon them. Now, this is how we are to explain some things that are happening in our day and generation, even here in America. How can you explain the various movements that have sprung up in this nation that advocate the removal of all moral restraints? There's an organization that's called something like People for the American Way. It's more like People for the Devil's Way. They are just adopting a title that's a euphemism for those who are calling for all sorts of license under the guise of liberty. Now, we must explain that sort of movement as men kicking against the restraint of the Spirit of God. And in that particular movement that I have referred to, it's interesting that the man who is at the heart of it and is using his immense power as a television writer and producer and director, he's using his immense ability and his immense wealth and position to foist this thing upon the American people. He is an outright despiser, blasphemer, and hater of God. Those things are not coincidental. What are we to say about the state of the law of this country, which now, by decree of no less a body than the Supreme Court, has said that you may not discriminate in employment against a person because he is a sodomite? You think of that. I want to tell you, I would close a business before I would employ a sodomite, knowingly. I would close it. And I would say this, that there is no judge on the bench or anywhere else who has the right to make any man put himself and his colleagues at risk by laying them open to the filth and the diseases that flow from the sodomite movement. I was just reading, I think, in the Greenville Press. Didn't say very much about it. But I had to wonder talked about a certain television star who is now a self-confessed sodomite. He had starred alongside of the sodomite that God slew, Rock Hudson. Starred alongside of him. And he had acted as the romantic lead to a young woman whose name I forget. I had never heard of her, to be quite honest. I just thought, you just try to imagine the agony of heart and mind that that young woman will be going through for the next year or two, wondering, has she got the vile disease that this fellow now has gone down with? And yet these fools who call themselves judges dare to say, you cannot keep a person out of any job simply because he's a sodomite. How are we to explain that sort of folly? It seems so crazy. Even to people who don't have an awful lot of brain power, it seems absolutely crazy. So how are you to explain it? You're to see, my friend, in the nation, that there is a revulsion against the law of God. There's a resistance against the workings of the Spirit of God. And not only in the nation, but in the churches. There are churches all across this country who have decided that it is the Christian thing to do to take no stand on any issue of morality. It's the Christian thing to do. Not terribly long ago, there was a church in the state of California fighting for its life. Cost it, at the last count I heard, $500,000. Fighting in the courts. Because they dared to dismiss a music director whom they found out to be a sodomite. Took them to court, and the first court found against them. I think the next one found for them. But it was a long and arduous task to get there. So many churches just don't bother. The United Methodist Church will marry sodomites in some places. They will marry two sodomites in certain places. British television, I don't know if it's been done on the United States television, but British television has a documentary that comes from various parts of the world, and they showed in these churches the actual so-called marriage ceremonies between sodomite males and other marriages with sodomite females. Methodist churches. I wonder what John Wesley would have to say about that. It's a long way from Wesley's doctrine of sinless perfection, isn't it? A long way. That's how we're to explain it, though. Apostasy, resisting the Holy Ghost. That's what's happening in the land. That's what's happening in the churches.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.